Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you back in the studio, Sheikh. Usually I pick your brain about the Islamic laws according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. And in a similar vein, we've been talking about and delving into some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature for quite a while now. And let me continue by asking you this question. How is the Shari midnight calculated for Maghrib and Isha prayers?
I think we have to consider that the midnight, the Shari midnight, is the middle point between the sunset and the dawn, the true dawn.
Or the sunrise, the true
Not the sunrise. Uh-huh. Okay, some people might think, okay, sunrise may be the end of the night. Okay, it's not the case.
Yes.
When the true dawn, because we have two dawns, one is the fake or unreal, untrue dawn,
yes,
which happens to be a few minutes before the true dawn.
Yes,
I don't mean that. Uh-huh. That the true dawn is the dawn is the time when it is when you are supposed to offer your prayers, and the adhan is actually said at that time.
Yes.
So the middle point is the middle of the night, midnight, and that's the point beyond which you are actually. You are not allowed to delay your Maghrib and Isha prayers. If you happen to delay your Maghrib and Isha prayers, of course, you will have to offer them, that those prayers, before the Adhan for Fajr prayer, with the intention and that it is neither Adhar nor Qadar. So it means that you do not have, you should not make the intention that you are going to offer the Isha and Maghrib prayers as Adhar or Qadar. It is something not fixed. So you offer the prayers not as Adha or Qadha, and because it's something incumbent upon you, you have to offer it.
What about the difference between Maghrib and Isha prayers? What is the Shari limit between the two? I know that in some of the earlier programs you just mentioned it in passing, but let's make it clear the difference between the Maghrib and Isha prayers. What's the time frame?
Of course, Maghrib prayer, the time within which the Maghrib prayer is offered, it might take you like 3 minutes or 4 minutes, okay? Because the Shia Muslims are allowed to combine their prayers, okay?
Exactly.
And of course, it's better, as we stated in our answer to the previous question, it is quite permissible for Shia Muslims to combine their prayers or to offer them separately. But of course, offering those prayers separately, the Dhuhr and Asr prayer and the Maghrib and Isha prayers separately is better, and you earn more sawab.
More recommended.
Like, for example, if you offer Isha prayers 45 minutes after the Maghrib prayer, it's much better. It's much recommended. Okay.
So it's and 45 minutes?
Yeah, 45 minutes, yes. But the thing is that, okay, if you combine the prayers, you can immediately offer the Isha prayers after the Maghrib prayer. As soon as you finish Maghrib, you can stand up and make niyyah for Isha prayers.
I see.
And this, and when it comes to the end of the time, of course, the end of the time is for 4 minutes, okay, three minutes. It depends on how long it takes you to offer the Maghrib prayer. It's dedicated to Isha prayers, okay? And that time you cannot offer the Maghrib prayer. Okay, if the Maghrib prayer is missed, it is missed. You should not miss the Isha prayers. You have to offer it within the prescribed time.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh. Let's take a short break, and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws, on RIB English Radio. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Welcome back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Shah Chavidar, guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature, according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Well, Shah Chavid, is it wrong to offer or say the remembrance and dhikr of genuflection and prostration, I mean ruku and sujood, instead of each other?
Well, it's wrong, as you said, if you intentionally recite the zikr of the two, like ruku and sujood, instead of each other, it is not permissible. And of course, it will render your prayer void, because you are deliberately doing something which is not permissible according to Islamic Sharia. Now, if that happens unintentionally and by mistake, of course, there's no problem. And in the event that you deliberately do that with the intention, of course, but that is with the intention of mentioning God mm-hmm. in general, because it's a general zikr, like say, yes. not as a part of the zikr of the sujood or ruku, mm-hmm. but with as a general zikr, like saying subhanallah, 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 subhanallah. Mm-hmm. Or of course, let's say subhanallah rabbil a'la wa bihamdi, which must be, for example, mentioned in the sujood, but you recite it in ruku as a general zikr, it will not affect your prayer. Mm-hmm. But if you recite this very zikr as part of the prayer and not as a general zikr, of course, it will affect your prayer.
Now, you mean subhanallah rabbi al-adim wa hamdi?
And sujood.
And
but
of course,
thinking it as considering it as a part of sujood or as a part of prayer, that it's not permissible to do that. Mm-hmm. And of course, it is necessary to make sure that you, of course, recite the zikr of every part of the prayer in its specific and respective place.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay. Well, if a person says the word salam instead of salamun alaykum, addressing a worshipper, is it obligatory for the latter to answer? What should the answer be?
Well, it depends on what people perceive it. You know, if people consider it as greetings,
yes.
Now it's obligatory to answer, and as a precaution, the answer should be in such a way that the word salam precedes. For example, he should say salamun alaykum, okay, or assalamu alaykum. Mm-hmm. Now he should answer with these, okay. He should not answer like alaykum assalam. He actually, according to His Eminence, he should put the word salam in the beginning and mm-hmm. then alaykum after it.
Yes. I see. Even so, in the answer.
When answering or returning the greeting, okay? Uh-huh. When the salam by itself is considered as a greeting, as a perfect greeting, uh-huh. according to common sense, according to the norm of the people.
But I've heard some people say alaykum salam in response.
So that's why, they don't know. Normal people do not know how uh-huh. to respond or return the salam.
I see.
So His Eminence says that, okay, you should return the salam by saying, Salamun alaykum.
I see. Yes. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Stay tuned.
اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature. According to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei, Sheikh Javid, if the worshipper inadvertently engages in Isha prayer before performing the Maghrib prayer and realizes in the middle of the prayer that this individual has made a mistake, so what are their duty?
Well, if he is still before the ruku of the fourth rakah, because we know that the Maghrib prayer consists of three rakah, so he has not completed the third rakah and he is before the ruku of the fourth rakah, he should return the intention, or actually change his intention to the Maghrib prayer, and finish the Maghrib prayer, making his niyyah, changing his niyyah to Maghrib prayer and finish it, and then offer the Isha prayer. That's what he should do. But if he is in, or for example, if he or has performed the ruku of the rakah, he is either in the ruku or he has completed the ruku of the fourth rakah, he should complete the Isha prayer as a precaution and then offer both Maghrib and Isha prayers again. Both, he has to offer Maghrib and Isha prayers, observing the sequence.
He cannot change his intention halfway through.
Because he has completed one ruku. He has done his ruku, and when you add one basic element, rukun, to the prayer, then your prayer is affected. Yeah, you cannot do anything about it.
I see. So he cannot change his intention.
Of course he cannot change, because he has done one ruku.
I see. Is it correct to recite the obligatory prayers in vehicles that are moving?
Well, the place of worship should be motionless. That's one of the very important conditions. So it's very important that the place where you offer your prayer is stable, it is not moving, and it should be in such a way that the worshipper can pray with calm and motionless body. So prayer is not correct in places that cause the body to move involuntarily, such as cars and trains, except when due to time constraints, of course, one has to pray in such a place. In that case, of course, you are allowed. And of course, like, for example, if you pray, if you are on board a plane and time is very much short, you will not make it to the airport to offer a prayer at the airport. Of course, it's not permissible to miss your prayer, because missing a prayer should not be missed. It should not be skipped under any circumstances. And no matter what conditions you are in, you must not skip or miss your prayer. Of course, sometimes you have time. You will see, okay, the train will arrive at the railway station, or maybe you will have time to pull over, or the bus driver will do so, or maybe your plane will land at the airport at a time you will be able to make it to offer your prayer. And that time you have to delay your prayer, because you cannot offer your prayer on board a plane when it's shaking. It's necessary that your body is motionless.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. And thank you, my dear listeners, for joining your own program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jahad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker, and the rest of the crew, we bid you farewell. And until another show, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
لا إله إلا